The co-chairs of the review working party, and I guess we can get you to do a quick round of introductions, and I will apologise for my about-to-leave-in-a-little-while status, but without the technology I'm unable to clone myself into the other room than I'm expected to be in. My name's Cheryl Langdon-Orr, and I must say I'm very excited and looking forward to this expose. And back to you, Tom. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl, and I'm Tom Barrett. We're with Cheryl on this review, which we're in the final stages of, so we're going to see some draft recommendations today. Other members of the team today, if you want to introduce yourself.
Bruce?
Hi, Bruce.
And I know there are a few board members. Thank you for attending. Any other members of the team here? I know we not all were able to make the show. All right, well, why don't we kick it right off to the analysis group.
Great. Well, thank you for having us here. We're excited to get your feedback on our recommendations. And let's dive into what we're going to talk about today. So just before kind of actually getting to our recommendations, we want to give you a brief introduction to ourselves. This shouldn't surprise you. We've been hired as the independent examiner to do a review of the NomCom. We have deep experience in evaluation of non-governmental organizations, such as ICANN, in particular Mark and Will, to my direct right. And we've also done a fair amount of work with ICANN in the past. It's a very interesting organization. Every project we get to do is always quite pleasurable and very instructive as well. And Mark and Will, do you want to give brief introductions to yourselves?
Will Brown, I've been working with Greg and Mark, professor at the Bush School of Government and Texas Service, at Texas A&M.
Hi, I'm Mark Engel with Association Management Center in Chicago.
Thank you. And I'm a vice president at Analysis Group. So just to give you a very high-level overview of the scope of our review, there's really kind of three areas that we were looking at. Whether or not the NomCom has a continuing purpose within the ICANN structure. We think it does. The second point is how effectively the NomCom fulfills its purpose and whether any change to its structure, process, or operations is needed to improve its effectiveness. I think generally speaking, we think that it is relatively effective, but there are some changes, as we will see, that we think could be made to it. And then finally, the extent to which the NomCom is accountable to the wider ICANN community. So just to give you a little bit of a sense for how we designed the project, it's really a two-step process, the first step of which is already complete. So first, we undertook an assessment of the NomCom. We reviewed the ICANN's bylaws, procedures, and a number of other documents that were made available to us during the course of the review. So thank you for giving us those documents. They were very helpful. We interviewed just over 60 people at ICANN 59, ICANN 60, in between those two ICANN meetings. We also conducted an online survey to which we received 85 responses. So thank you all if you were either interviewed or took the time to take the survey. We appreciate it. And then we published an assessment report for public comment and received a fair amount of thoughtful comment. So we were very pleased to get that feedback. And now we're at step two, which are the recommendations. On March 26th, I believe, we will publish a recommendations report. But before we do so, we're looking forward to getting feedback from those of you in the room and those of you that are listening online or, I guess, over the phone. And then we'll submit a final report on June 1st. So just to give you a little bit more background on the interviews themselves and the survey. So like I mentioned, we completed a little over 60 interviews. We really wanted to kind of obtain a diversity of views from all of the community. So we certainly talked to past and former NomCom members, but we also talked to members of the board, members of SOs and ACs more generally, and then just anyone who really wanted to talk to us and who might have an opinion about the NomCom. Based on those interviews, we then designed a survey instrument, which was distributed online, and that was really designed to elicit feedback from a much wider group of people in the community than those that we interviewed. And like I mentioned earlier, we received about 85 responses, and that was quite useful for kind of thinking about our assessment, but of course, what we're actually going to say with respect to the recommendations. And so with that, I will turn it over to Mark and Will to begin walking us through our findings and recommendations.
All right. So let me just briefly summarize a couple of the strengths, I think, of the committee. So generally, as Greg mentioned, perceived to be effectively forming its role. We've noticed that the members obviously exert a tremendous amount of time and effort to fulfill their functions, bring quite a bit of expertise to the room, and it continues to be a moving target and continues to improve its processes as we're moving along through the even through the review and through this whole process. We've noticed how it continues to be an evolving work. So that's good. Go ahead and so. The way we'll present our recommendations really will cut across two main areas, the composition and the responsibilities of NOMCOM members, so thinking about sort of the committee and the staffing and the way that the people are in the room and who's doing the work, and then thinking a little bit about the processes of recruitment and evaluation and how the NOMCOM has structured and what are the procedures that they follow in order to be able to sort of come to a quality decision. We've also got a few what we're calling additional areas that we thought were interesting. So I'll cover the first bullet there, and Mark will cover the second one, and then we'll share the third, and then open up for conversation is the thinking at this point, if that makes sense. So briefly, you'll see each slide is set up similarly. We've got the findings on the left and the recommendations that we have associated with this. So you can scan down. My inclination is to spend most of my time talking about the recommendations and what we thought were important and why we sort of began to move some of this way. Generally there's room to be able to increase the capacity of the individuals who are performing the NOMCOM function, both in the areas of understanding what it means to be a director and the elements associated with carrying out effective interviews and selection procedures. So the people aren't walking into the room with necessarily a deep sense of expertise in those two areas, and there's certainly room to be able to help improve them in their understanding of what it is that you're selecting for in the case of directors, and how you might go about the procedures associated with that. And as we know, some of that's going on already, and as we say, some of this is being addressed as we're going along. We also think that there's some room to be able to help the committee chairs, the vice chairs. They have a lot of responsibility. There's a lot that falls onto their plate, and things can be done to help them perform their role and just sort of better understanding what it means to be leading a committee like this and how they can facilitate conversations. We've seen that that there's some inconsistency, certainly over time, in reference to how the role is communicated to the SOs and the ACs. What does a NOMCOM member do, and how does that, and why is that important for you to send somebody who's going to pay attention and be active and engaged, and some of those kinds of things? So clarifying the role, the job description of a NOMCOM member, and communicating that more widely is liable to then at least be able to instigate a bit for those support organizations and the advisory councils to send appropriate candidates to the position. We also think that there's a role for the professional recruiting firm and the professional evaluation firm, because they provide a level of objectivity, and that's a good use of the committee members' time to use them to both be able to identify sort of put in place a number of individuals, but also helping filter and review some of the materials. And there's some systematic procedures that those folks are going to utilize that can be very useful for a committee like this. In reference to, you know, how long committee members serve, we think that there would be some value in allowing committee members to serve for a longer period of time. We think the leadership is probably fine, a one-year term for the chair and the vice chair and such, but that actual committee members could serve for a two-year term. That would be a little bit more consistent with what we see in the field, and it allows for that knowledge acquisition. There's a lot of material that needs to be acquired. There's a lot of familiarity with how the processes and the procedures go, and some of that continuity could be quite useful. We didn't get into this extensively, but we did get some sense that the committee might not fully represent the community. Again, ICANN is an evolving entity, and so there would be a role to rebalance or to consider or explore the extent to which the committee might want to adjust its composition. We don't have anything substantively specific there. The third bullet relates to, again, who's in the room. We believe that it would be useful for basically all NOMCOM members to have similar rights and responsibilities, but also similar term limits and similar engagement within the committee, just so that there was just a consistency of everybody that was there. I know that there's some rationale, and this might be a point of conversation, for why some folks are non-voting, but our general sense was that if a committee member is there, put them there for a particular term length, let them be renewed according to the policies, but let them be engaged in full members within the committee. And again, I think in this instance, it's not common practice that a chair of a committee might not be a non-voting member, but in this instance, it probably makes sense within this context. So excluding those individuals from actually voting also seems to make sense. One of the elements in reference to sort of support and sort of the staff function, we continue to recognize the role and importance of the board and believe of the strategic positioning. And so anything that can further integrate and tie the NOMCOM and the staff support into strategic decision making at ICANN, further elevates the importance and substantive nature is more or less what we're getting at, and that it should be adequately supported with staff infrastructure. There's a number of roles that staff can do that can, and is being done, but can continue to even do some more that begins to alleviate some of the burden that the committee members might experience. And that, and part of that is allowing at an appropriate level, sufficient level of control for the committee to make some determinations. Typically what might happen in a situation like this is the staff would pull together the budget. They would then sit down with the committee chairs in appropriate timing and sequencing, talk about what are the priorities this year, do we need to make any adjustments, allowing for time for that sort of just a normal review process that you might have. And that includes budgets and the variety of other resources that are necessary for the committee. Anything that can be done to provide the committee some control or some ability to provide input there is in general a good practice. So, Mark, I think this is when it switches over to you.
Okay. Thanks, Will. Okay, so this section is really about process. And if there's one term that came up repeatedly, it was Groundhog Day. And that's not a surprise because that's a repetitive element. And it really gets to the shape of this next section. And it's really about process. And good process drives good results. And there are a lot of key elements in the process that we've observed and that we've read about and listened to in the interview process. But there's little codification of the process. So that is really the theme that we're coming to and how this could improve the dynamics and efficiency and effectiveness of the nominating committee. So that's the general theme of where we're going right now. We're going to have some examples for you to see because we do think that these pictures of these things really drive some understanding, transparency, and communication. And that's the theme of where we're going right now. So the first one is really about effective processes. And we like to refer to a process diagram, which is an example of how to show the process in works. One thing that we've learned here, too, is that there's such a focus on independence that we think it's driving this element of process down to a low level, saying we need to reexamine each element each year. And our response is almost the opposite, saying if you can codify the process, make it public in general, there's little need to change it throughout the years. And that drives transparency and confidence in a fair, effective process. So some of the tools that we walked through, for instance, we went through yours. Now, we're not going to expect you to see this. This is part of their recommendations report. But this is an example of our understanding of your process to date that's in a way that is it is hopefully understandable to candidates who are going through the system. And so when they can see this and they can see where you are steps in the process, what does it look like? There's a level of transparency here. And so it does help on the communication basis and everything. So you'll see, you know, it starts with appointing the nominating committee, and then it goes through to the publicly announced element of the selections, and then the final report prepared by the chair for changes and so on for the next year. So this is a simple chart, a simple diagram showing the elements of the process. So the other part that goes hand in hand with this, and this is just one small snapshot, so we have codified the elements within the process. And again, this is our understanding. So this is an example of the appointment of the nominating committee. Who does it? and what are the elements that go with it. And so we see the process diagram coupled with this as a great communication tool that, again, reflects transparency to the community. So that's why we're advocates for this. It allows us to streamline the process. There's continuity to it. People understand where you are in the cycle, when you'll have some communication elements, and so on. So we're used to seeing these types of tools, and we've created this. In fact, this is one small snapshot of a three-page element in our report. So this is where we do get detailed and so on. The next recommendation is around formalizing the communication between the NOMCOM, the board, the SOACs, and the PTI regarding competencies. Generally speaking, we spend a lot of time with boards and nomination processes to really hone in on what are the competencies you're looking for. We know some of this element happens every year, but we're used to it at a little bit of a different level of detail. And so we have some examples in our report of some of the competencies that we're looking for. I'll give you one example. Is we've worked with the Society of Actuaries, 40,000 members of actuaries. There's an emerging element within that community of new a new domain within actuarials. And their point is we need somebody who understands that community in the board so they get that specific in the competencies that they're looking for. Sometimes it's around mergers and acquisitions. Sometimes it's a strategic element. The more specific we can get around the competencies that we need in the board, and we'll show you a tool that will help identify that soon, the more we can understand the type of competencies we're looking for to populate the board. So spending more strategic time on that, we think, is as critical. So that's at a different level than what has been shared in our understanding in the past. Also, publishing a job description for the open positions. This isn't just for the board, but for the SOACs and so on, because we are looking for different elements. There's different roles and responsibilities for that, being open and transparent about what are those skill sets, what are those responsibilities for the different leadership positions. And we do know some of this is a work in progress. We saw that in the NOMCOM recently, really focusing on key elements of a job description for the board. So there are some good tools that are available for advancing that work. Okay, I want to make sure I'm missing any of the key points here. All right. Feedback regarding members up for reappointment. This is a common theme that that has transpired for years, and it's difficult to know if the NOMCOM is providing competent candidates if there's not that feedback, especially when somebody comes up for that reappointment. Now, we do know this is a sensitive element, whether it's an individual reflection on the performance of individuals, but there are mechanisms to provide data back to the nominating committee about participation, and then some of the elements of the competencies that fit into the system and how to evaluate that subjectively. So there's a mechanism to understand and communicate that so that we're not either reappointing people who shouldn't be reappointed or not reappointing people who should be reappointed. So that mechanism is missing right now. We do think there's an effective way to handle that sensitively. So another common theme that came up, and we've seen some data on the NOMCOM appointments regarding diversity, for instance, but without developing a marketing plan to reach these communities that you're seeking, it's a really scattered approach right now. And our sense was that it's kind of haphazard of who are we asking to be communicating out to these networks that could have a diverse pool within the representative element that you're trying to recruit now. So we're used to seeing this as a conscious program of if we're looking for people from a particular region, then how is it that we can approach these broad lists to communicate the element of what we're seeking, the competencies and representation elements, for instance, but how to reach into those communities. So we're used to seeing more of a marketing plan for this size and scope of an organization. And that kind of couples into a communication plan. And so the elements around communicating, who are we communicating what messaging to and when and who is responsible for that. So right now there's not this level of responsibility because the plan doesn't exist. And there are blueprints for this. I mean, we're used to seeing this kind of a structure, accountability, and then back to it. So you have a theory and how we're reaching out to what communities, and there's a system that goes with that. There's accountability within who's doing what at what time. And again, it allows for an open, transparent process so that people who are in the system have that sense that there's a fair process here. And the communication seems that there's more communication with some candidates than others, and that really jeopardizes that level of transparency and the feeling of fairness. So when you have a plan that's published, this is what we're doing, this is who we're reaching to, and it's open to the community to help feed and drive that plan, that's the process that we're used to. So kind of codifying that. It shouldn't change too much through the year. The variables might change, you know, how you're approaching or who you're approaching, but the elements of the plan should be fairly consistent throughout the years. So, okay. This is relative to the evaluation process. NomCom using a standardized matrix to evaluate and prioritize based on the competencies and experiences. And we're going to go through a sample here, I think it's our next slide, of we're used to seeing a standardized process so that that the evaluators, the NomCom or firms, are using a matrix so everybody knows how what is being evaluated and the system allows you to prioritize candidates. And then the evaluation consultant does the preliminary screening. And so the concept now is if there's a whole host of committee members looking at four different elements and prioritizing differently, it's tough to prioritize 100 candidates and to do it fair and consistently. And so our point is there should be some consistency in this process. At your size, you know, $150 to $200 million organization, the responsibilities, the scope of this organization, you should have this independent consultant who is responsible for at least identifying with the committee what's going to be evaluated and then going through the mechanism and providing the early screening. We're not saying that they're going to weed out all the candidates, but they should be really spending quality time saying, here is your top tier that you should be spending time on, and providing that counsel back and forth. We're used to seeing that in this size and scope of an organization. So, okay. So here's an example of what this looks like. And I know you can see this and read this really well. But across the top, it talks about the current board members. And it talks about what they evaluate themselves to have strengths and competences and experiences. And so you populate this grid with the strategic objectives and competencies across the board. It allows you to have a mechanism, a matrix, to say this is who we have and to identify the gaps of this is what we need. And that allows us to get specific. Now, you wouldn't publish this necessarily publicly by name, but by context of saying, here's the gaps that we're looking for this year. And so, again, it allows people to be specific. The more you can be specific in the competencies and experiences that you're looking for and publish that in advance, the more quality caliber of candidates you'll get. It's not about the quantity. 100 candidates might seem terrific. If you could get 20 wonderful candidates to us, that's the measure of success. Spend time on 20 solid candidates instead of the volumes of candidates. This is a mechanism to say, this is what we need. And then we usually see this coupled with, and this is an example of the applicants that would come across and how it would feed into the competencies and experiences that you have already published your desire for. So it allows, on a blinded basis, you to help prioritize and select these. These are the tools that we're used to seeing. And a lot of these elements should be public, not individuals by any means, but in concept of the gaps that we're looking for and the skill sets across the board. So people can measure, should I even apply this year? So they can be self-selecting in advance. Okay, and then when it comes to the face-to-face interviews, actually before that, with the phone interviews and the deep dives, for instance, some consistency in the questions. We're used to a question guideline that we see saying ask one or two of these three questions, for instance. So there's some consistency across the interviews and some mechanisms and evaluation form to be able to say, all right, we're lining up. If we're phone interviewing 20 people, there's consistency with this evaluation form, so we know that everybody's got the same lens that they're looking for. And then publishing more data on the candidates. And I know there was in the public meeting the other day, there were some snapshots of some data that's come across. So we think that could be a little bit more robust and shared openly in the community. Okay. Investigate the evolution of NomCom into – oh, I'm sorry. This is our additional observations. So that ended the process section. And then we had a few recommendations that we said don't really fit into those two buckets, and some of this is a little bit beyond the scope of this project, but these are a couple of things that we were looking for that we did not see that we think could enhance ICANN, the leadership, and the transparency into the community. So the first one is to investigate the evolution of a NomCom into the leadership development function. Again, at your size of an organization, at your scope, we would typically see a forum for emerging leaders to be able to say, I understand the leadership process, I understand the competencies you're looking for, and I understand the opportunities for me, whether I'm an early careerist or a late careerist or somebody with a particular strength and interest. What are the avenues for me to get engaged in their community and to move into leadership positions? And also this function at your size and scope of an organization, we're used to seeing providing some leadership development skills, some training and expertise that goes with that. So it's the way of looking at this as a function over time instead of a process of a nominating committee. A nominating committee has one responsibility, is to populate these leadership positions for this year. A leadership development function is developing leaders over time and giving them the sense of an open, fair, transparent opportunity for them to personally develop and for them to move into leadership capacities. So we see that as a great opportunity ahead for you. I think you've got the second one.
Yep. So the second one here, inform the assessment of the NomCom by evaluating the performance of the board, and we're talking about the board in aggregate. So there are measures so there are obviously individual measures. We talked a little bit about that before in reference to reappointing somebody. This is as an aggregate thinking about how the ICANN board overall is performing, and so there are general categories that we typically can look for, and that information can also be informative for the NomCom, and it has reflection on the NomCom in reference to how effective they are performing. So this is, we believe that there's some value, and I know that this is in place, that there are mechanisms to do some of this, so some of it could be communicating back and being able to use some of that information to guide the NomCom themselves. Anything else on that, Mark?
No, I think that's good. Okay, and the last one is about the confusion around the definition of independence. And we've heard this, whether it's in the nominating committee or whether it's the board members or other interviews that we've had. We could not come up with a clear definition of the word independence. It's used so many different ways in this community. And our example of independence, you might think of a corporate board of directors where an independent director is somebody who is not on management team or with the firm. And so the example that we have is, are you independent, meaning who are you responsible to, or are you within the system? And so we think that that's a determination that needs to be made. It would be a bylaws change, too. So that's why we believe this is a little bit out of the scope of this project. But is there how do you define independence? What are the expectations around it? Are there seats allocated to it at the time? And we think that will clarify, and we've heard, you know, backdoor assignments to the board, you know, coming through the SOACs, for instance. Are they really independent or not? So there's a level of clarity that is missing in that whole concept of who is independent and what are you looking for. And we actually believe that there's a different process. If you define the word independence as somebody who is not already in the ICANN community or aligned with a particular benefit, and you do have a couple of examples of directors now, we believe, who would qualify as that independent term, but that recruitment process is a different type of a process than what is currently under the NomCom. You know, it needs to be handled in a different way. So it's not out of context with what you're doing right now, but the expectations of an independent director would be very different than the expectations of somebody within your community who is trying to get onto the board. So that's why we've handled this a little bit differently. But we think that determination needs to be made at the top. You'd need to change the bylaws. And then the structure isn't rocket science to amend it. I mean, you've got a lot of the structure in place, but it would need to be codified a little bit differently with the expectations a little differently. So I think that's where... Yeah. So we are on next steps.
Yeah, so just very briefly, and then we'll open it up for hopefully a lively discussion. As I mentioned at the start of the presentation, we will be publishing our draft recommendation, or draft final report, I should say, on March 26th. It will be open for a comment period of, oh, I see Angie raising her hand.
Apologies. I just want to say one thing. We ran March 23rd past everyone. That's a Friday, not the best day to publish something. 26th is the following Monday.
It will be open for comment for 40 days, and then we will publish our final report on June 1st. And I think with that, let's open it up for discussion.
First of all, thank you very much for the hard work that you've done. We know that as this year's NOMCOM, how much time and effort you put into basically analyzing us. That's what you call the analysis group. Yeah. So we wanted to thank you for that. And let me just say thanks for letting me go through some of this stuff a little earlier. There wasn't a single recommendation that we could disagree with. In fact, as you know, we've even made further recommendations. You'll be hearing from us in writing as well. The NOMCOM will be working to provide you those additional comments. So we wanted to thank you for that. And let me just say something about the independent director bit. I think it's been a constant discussion going back and forth every year, and it changes from a number of years to a number of years, whether the NOMCOM's role is to take people from the community and appoint them, or should they be for outsiders and what you're calling independent directors. And I think it's an important thing that if in some way that could be clarified within the bylaws, that discussion and debate would be something we wouldn't necessarily have to do. Now, if there's a view that actually let's keep it open depending on the year what happens, maybe we need people from the community, et cetera, that might be a different view situation. But I take your point. And also wanted to inform you that there's a lot of discussion, some other stakeholder groups, about the fact that to what extent they feel that the NOMCOM should have 8 seats. I heard this in one of the sessions. And should some of them be taken away back to maybe the GNSO or others? Therefore, if that discussion is ongoing, therefore the role of the NOMCOM to appoint independent directors becomes even more important, and hence your recommendation in that context is very appropriate. So I just want to thank you for everything.
Thank you. I thought your recommendations were pretty spot on, and it's been a pleasure to work with you guys. Really appreciate it. I did want to kind of piggyback on the comments around independent director. I would agree. I think making sure that people really understand what that means and making sure that independence is preserved is really important. With respect to the board and understanding performance, I would like to suggest that not only we have peer evaluation of board members, but maybe there's some sort of a system for community evaluation of board members, because there might be some instances where board members are doing a better job of really interacting with the community versus others. And so it would be important to know that that's a good portion of the work that they do. Also, I really liked the comments with respect to leadership path, and I know that gets a little bit sticky when we're trying to encourage people within the community versus people outside of the community. We don't want to, lean towards favoritism. But I think if there are people in the community who aspire to be board members and there are resources and things we can do to strengthen them, then by all means, I don't see any downside to supporting that. I think we should be encouraging that. Also, I really agree with the consistency point. I can't stand inconsistency. And I also don't think we should be on this NOMCOM forever. I mean, I certainly don't want to be here forever. No offense. I think everyone's wonderful. But we really need some new blood. I'd say this throughout all of ICANN, and I mean no disrespect to anyone. But I think that that's a key point. And I think for the members that are here, they should be able to vote. And so I think evening that out, because I understand the non-voting is connected with the fact that you can, be here forever, to even that out and address that. I think that was very keen of you to pick up on that, and I do appreciate the comments around that. So thank you very much. I'm going to miss you guys.
Cheryl Angdenor for the record, and I'm saying that because I'd like to remind you all that, of course, you know, this is a recorded conversation, and it'll be a transcribed conversation, and it'll at the moment say male voice, female voice, male voice, female voice. So please do remember that this is archived for perpetuity's sake and the occasional look back on record. So just continue the conversation, but do make sure your name goes on the record as well. George, I'd be very surprised if you or Bruce didn't have something to say about independence, the definition of independent directors. I know you and I have had conversations about definitions of independent directors in the past. Just hoping while we have the board members here that we might grab a comment from them, because I suspect you might have to go somewhere else very shortly.
George Sadowski. Thank you. You have to pay attention to Cheryl, because if you don't do what she says, you're in deep trouble. Okay.
For the record, I spoke earlier, and I'm just the other Cheryl, Cheryl Miller. So.
Okay, good. So you. Thank you very much. Sorry. I've got a bunch of things to say, but I can't comment on the definition of independence. That's a legal definition, and I know what I mean by it, but that meaning may go no further. So this is probably a good time to raise some points. There's some good suggestions here, and there's some good perceptions here. There are three areas I picked up that I think I have some different opinions and some experience to bring to bear. Just for the record, I've been on the board for 8+ years, and I'm going off in September. I also was a chair of the nominating committee for 3 years in 2005, 6, and 7, and I was the associate chair in 2008. And I was on a board work group on examining the restructuring of the nominating committee in 2012, I'm not sure that's right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So the first comment is the skills matrix. This is a common algorithmic way of looking at what you've got and what you need, looking for holes and the like, We talk about this at the board from time to time, and the issue comes up also in other contexts, in picking people to do jobs, and in assessing what we need in other areas. But when we talk about it in the board, the conclusion we ultimately come to is it's not the skills. It's the combination of skills in the people with their own personal characteristics that make the board work. And if we had constituted the present board with just skills, I don't think we would have gotten the same board. We might have gotten one that worked equally well, but the personal interactions, the kinds of drive, the ambition, the particular knowledge that wouldn't appear on a skills matrix is really, really important. So I would really downgrade the skills matrix as being of importance. I think it's a sort of an algorithmic way of avoiding looking at what really matters in terms of how boards work. I wouldn't take it out, clearly, but we're constantly reminded, we don't need somebody who's an expert in audit, although it would be really nice to have somebody, because we have people on the staff who can do this. We don't need lawyers necessarily, although we get more than our share of them, because we have a legal staff, et cetera, et cetera. I think that makes the point. The second point is one of what I would consider benign neglect, and it's the following. The current structure of the NOMCOM, and this is my own all of these are my own personal opinions, clearly the board, I don't think, has a position on this, is sadly out of date. The structure, where the people come from, what their voting status is, represents the structure of ICANN in 2003. 15 years ago. And I don't know whether you guys looked at what the board working group did. I suggested you do it. This has been of some concern to the board, or to certain parts of the board, for some time. And we're kind of hoping you would take a crack at that. Now, the fact is that this is politically difficult to do, because whenever you re-equilibrate something, there are winners and losers, and maybe you don't feel like you want to be in that position. But I think that would be something worth looking at. The third thing is this issue of the leadership development function. I didn't understand quite what you meant within the context of the way the NomCom works. It's quite clear that I tried to identify skills and people who can serve the organizational well at multiple levels should be a function of ICANN, and we do that to some extent, and clearly you are concerned about that too. But these people typically come from the ACs and the SOs, and the NomCom has nothing to do with them. So the NomCom, at least in theory, goes out and looks at people who either aren't in the community or are very special in the community, and who are independent in some sense, and brings them in. So that the idea of, I like the leadership training idea, but it really doesn't have very much to do with the NomCom. So those are my three points.
If I could share back, so we totally agree with you on the skills matrix, because it isn't just about lawyers and accountants, for instance. In fact, what drives organizational performance, and that's what Will and I have studied for too many years, organizational performance is driven by two things at the top, at the board level, and that is time on strategy and attention to culture. And I think that's the point you're getting to, is how you work together. And so we totally believe that that is a critical element of this. So in our skills matrix, that is one of the key elements of it. And it is difficult to judge that until you see it in action and really understand it. Frankly, unless, one, you've seen it in action, or two, you are trained to do that well. And that's when we believe, especially if you go with an independent director, which means you would likely not know who that candidate is, that you have a trained professional doing that recruiting element who can do that well, who can engage in the questions. You had HR training the other day on interviewing techniques, and you can see the level of professionalism of how they can ask questions to really get at that cultural element, because without it, you get dysfunction in the boardroom, and that drives down organizational performance. So we're totally in line with you on that. And the rebalancing element, that is one of our key recommendations. And we did not have the sense of the political elements of how to rebalance this committee, but we do believe that that does need to be examined. So that's out there. So thank you.
Thank you. I agree. Cheryl Miller, for the record.
Thank you.
You're welcome. One question I would have for George would be, or a comment, actually, and I do agree with what you said with respect to all lawyers, although I do, for the record, want to point out that I am a lawyer, but I'm also an artist, a photographer, a badass surfer, and you can follow me on Instagram at Freestyle Flamingo. So I'm more than just a lawyer, because I feel like we're always called just lawyers. But how would we really evaluate that chemistry as a NomCom? I think for folks who work together with people in the community, it's easier to see that side of people, but it's harder for us because we only have them before us for a few minutes in an interview. And to be honest, some people don't interview well. I don't think I interview very well. With respect to the leadership, I agree. I don't think it's for NomCom. I think it's more for the community, and I don't know how that would be set up. And I don't think they intended for us to set it up. I think it's something just ICANN at large. For newcomers, also, you know, it's the balance, right? If we're looking at that chemistry as we're interviewing the newcomers versus people who have been in the community, how do we give them a chance to let their chemistry shine as well? I'm calling it chemistry. It might be something else, but I agree with you, and thank you for that.
Okay, so when the NomCom, it first arose because originally people may remember that at-large directors were supposed to be elected online elections. And in Cairo in 1999, if you want to go back into ancient times, my name is Jonathan Cohen, sorry.
Thanks, Jonathan.
I would have chosen another name, but Rockefeller was already taken. In any event, I led the charge at that time to insist that we not do that until such time as there was a way to verify who was voting and you could avoid capture by, let's say, China, which just by force of numbers. The NomCom, when it was debated in the board, I had a real problem with it to the extent that I was very worried that the way it was suggested it be composed would import the politics of the GNSO into the NomCom, and that it would suffer accordingly in its process of choosing. At the time, I felt, although there wasn't much to populate it with, that there ought to be a minimum of two or three ex-board members on the NomCom. That wouldn't dominate the NomCom, but I think I'm not sure if I'm the first ex-boardie to be on the NomCom or not, but I'd like to think that it's helped the other members. I've instituted a job description, the qualities, but did exactly what George said and said it's kind of, these are nice things to take a look at, but they are far from determinative, that what you're really looking for is somebody who's multifaceted, bright, works well with others, is a quick learner. I mean, these are the kinds of things that contribute to the operation of a successful board. And not all of them can be measured in an interview. Many of the recommendations you've made, as you know from witnessing our deliberations, are already either done or in the process of being done with this new NomCom, but most of them are well taken. But I think George's point that after 15 years, a good look at how this is composed and who's on it would be as important as any other change in producing a better result from the NomCom. I think, without meaning any disrespect to my fellow members, I probably have a better idea of what makes a good board member than they do. Thank you.
I second Jonathan's suggestion, and I'd like to give you an anecdote to highlight it. When I was in my first year as NomCom chair, I went to the chair of the board, and I said, look, people are saying, you know, how does the board interact? What do they do? Because if you're choosing someone to join an organization, you want to know something about what the culture is and what traits are likely to be positive and what traits are likely not to work well. Absolutely not, I was told. I said, how do we find out what's going on? Well, that's your problem, in effect. And it wasn't until I got on the board that I saw the kinds of behaviors, or the culture, and how certain behaviors would fit and how certain behaviors wouldn't. Of course, then it was 3 years too late in terms of being on the NomCom, so I think Jonathan's suggestion makes a great deal of sense. Although, at that point, the board was quite closed in what it did. And since then, very slowly, we've been opening up, but not quickly enough to satisfy Jonathan's criterion. Okay, the second thing, and this is something which I think you may have not have wanted to talk about, I know that in my NomCom, or at least I believe I know that my NomComs were pure of heart, and they did the right things. They didn't vote in blocks, regional or any other way. And one of the reasons was we had a long talk about it, and we said this is you're not here to represent your group, any group. You're here to work for ICANN and to get the best result. However, since then, there have been lots of other NomComs, and there's been a fair amount of scuttlebutt among some of them. Well, the blah, 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 this regional group got together, and they made trade-offs, and I'll vote for my candidate, or your candidate, if you'll vote for mine, and so on. And, of course, on the outside, you don't know whether this is just rumor or whether it's fact, but it doesn't color the NomCom very well. And I think it's important to raise that as an issue. What do you do with that? In the very beginning, you said, well, it's important to train the NomCom members what their roles are. But if this is a problem, we got to solve it. Thank you.
This is Mark Engel with the IE, and we totally agree with you on this. In fact, one of our recommendations, which we didn't flesh out for you here, but it certainly is in our paper, talks about a job description for the NomCom members, and it highlights the duty of loyalty. And the duty of loyalty at the board level is very clear. Your duty of loyalty is to ICANN as the organization. The duty of loyalty at the NomCom is not as clear, and that does need to be codified. Is the duty of loyalty to ICANN, or is it to a SOAC, or to who has appointed you, or is it to the organization? So we do think that that's a key element that needs to be clarified in there with the job description of a NomCom member. And then that also is a communication mechanism back to the SOACs when they're making their appointments. Your duty is to X. So
Thank you.
I agree with that. I was on the NOMCOM last year, but I came in late to fill in and to help on that. While no one approached me directly, maybe because I was so new, I definitely had the sense that people already knew who they were going to vote for, and that was an odd feeling. Yeah, it said Cheryl.
Hi, this is Tom Barrett. There's been some great comments. I'd like to elevate it a little bit and talk about what happens after this report. It's not clear to me that ICANN.org or the board has prepared for how to implement these recommendations. Specifically, is there a budget for it? Would it be done only by staff? I don't think the NOMCOM itself could implement these, so it has to be some other standing body. And it's not clear that there's a budget for this or even a plan for how this might be carried forward. So I'm interested in comments on how that might happen.
Go, George.
I can help you a little bit. The report will go out for public comment. The formal report will be delivered. The board will look at it. The board will look at the recommendations, decide whether to accept them or not. The report will be sent to finance to see what the cost of implementation is of these things, and then there'll be decisions made in the normal prioritization process of ICANN activities.
Tom Barrett again, just to follow on. So I guess the other part of my question is, should this be something that is handed off to staff to implement, or should it be a community-led effort to decide how to implement the recommendations? Right.
I think we should get Larissa to the table for that one. Come on in.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Larissa Gernick for the record. I'm part of ICANN.org, the team that facilitates the reviews. So for other structures, and of course the NOMCOM is quite different than other structures, but the way we work this process for other structures is that the review working party, the group that's really similar to this group, people that represent the organization under review that will have to work through the implementation, live under the implementation, and hopefully benefit from the implementation, continue to have a role in the implementation as supported by staff, of course. This is different. I guess that would be a discussion point for the NOMCOM and the review working party to think about what would be most useful. But certainly, as the implementation work goes forward, it's really important for the people of the organization themselves to be involved in that process. For example, within the GNSO, the review working party sort of terminated and was reconstituted into the review implementation party. And Cheryl perhaps can speak on behalf of the at-large organization that's going through that process too.
Happy to do so. Cheryl Langdonor for the record again. And what Larissa said is really vital, because we did formulate a review working party for the purpose of this exercise for a good reason. And it has the analogy there to the other internal review working parties. And what they do in this second round, and many of us have experienced a number of versions of these reviews, so we've all learnt by the process, is they either reconstitute, as Larissa said, in the case of the GNSO, or they reaffirm their constitution, so you can have people churn in and out, and that review working party continues as a implementation review team, working with staff and making sure that helps to keep a reality check on the prioritisation and, of course, the very important budget implementations.
Yeah, thank you for that detail. I think I'm still thinking under the old bylaws. One other point I'd like to raise: we've been talking only about the board here. I haven't heard the mention of the appointments to the other organizations, and that can be really important. And in particular, it's important in terms of balance, because one of the things that the NOMCOM should do is balance among gender. gender, region, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes that those other appointments, which can be really important, give you a way of doing that. So it's worth looking at more at the other appointments. There have been some that have been spectacular, and consider them also, and don't consider them as footnotes.
George, thank you for that. Cheryl Langdon, for the record again, and you make a very important point, but I'm confident that that is something that is definitely picked up and recognised in the bigger report, remembering, of course, and I don't need to speak on behalf of IA, but, you know, they're just giving us a little highlights and holidays tour here. There's a body of work that we're all going to be poring over and going into the gory details of. So you might want to respond to that. After Saheed. Go ahead, please, Saheed.
No, over here.
Oh, sorry. I've got... yep, all right. Go ahead first.
Sure. Oli Jacobson, for the record. I always worry a little bit when a template is applied to a general solution for whatever problem it is, whether it's marketing or interview techniques or recommendations of some form, that sometimes we don't get the bigger picture. I think one of the most important things that we need to figure out about potential independent board candidates is why they're here. In other words, do they have the basic understanding of what it is ICANN does, and how do they feel they can contribute to it somehow? And that's a very difficult thing to do if you're just looking at the paper. So I certainly agree that in-person interviews and using recruitment firms and so on and so forth are helpful tools. But I think that's kind of like the number one priority or question that needs to be asked. Maybe not so much the skill sets or whether they came from they were very senior board members of an organization. As Tillerson just discovered, it doesn't always lead to good things. Thank you.
Thanks, Ali. Cheryl.
Thank you. I appreciate your comment, George. And we spent a lot of time actually talking about the fact that Cheryl Miller, for the record, talking about the fact that for the other leadership position, there needs to be more discussion, and they did do a lot of work around that. What I would really say to each of the different community groups, I look at ICANN as a house, and the room that I spend the most time in is the BC, right? I get to, hang out in the other rooms and visit other people, but my main room is really the BC. So I have a pretty good understanding of what the BC needs, although I'm in constant contact with those folks. Each different portion of the community really needs to coordinate with their quote-unquote NOMCOM representative and really make sure that they're coordinating with the NOMCOM as a whole to express what they need, because we can guess and we can try to figure it out, but we really need an open line of communication in order to really get that right. And we won't always get it right. I think no NOMCOM, someone's always going to be upset with what we decide. Someone's always going to be happy. I think that just goes along with the job, right? But I think there are definitely ways to be able to improve that. And it really depends on the communication, because I won't know what's happening in the living room if I'm spending most of my time in the kitchen. Thanks.
Thank you. George, I'm glad you brought the word balance up, because in at least in the last couple of years, when we're looking at what the NOMCOM does, we didn't actually approach it that way. And I think that was something, I'm glad you caught that for us. We've talked about many things, but we've never used the word balance, and I think it's really important that we in this NOMCOM actually consider that that's one of the things we're trying to do. A question I had was, how is this going to get implemented, and does a review team, for instance, have a thoughts about what is the recommendation coming out of this about what are you going to do to make sure this happens and doesn't become a report that just lies there?
Okay, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, for the record, and we have, in fact, gone over that in a little bit of detail just briefly.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We all have to I'm about to dash out, so not a problem. But George did outline from the board perspective what happens with the process of the board, and then Larissa from the MFSI perspective outlined what goes on in other groups, and then we affirmed that as the review team, we will reconstitute or refresh our membership to act as an implementation review working party. So that's the short version. Happy to talk in gory detail later, though.
Very, very encouraging to hear that. Thank you.
And one point that I know you guys have experienced it this year's cycle I don't think there's a budget for reconstituting something, right? Our, for example, this review team, we're not all here because there's not a travel budget for the review team, right? So half of us showed up. So I do want to make it clear as part of this budget review that's going on now, there should be placeholder funds so that we can actually implement these recommendations with a community-led type of effort.
Go for it, George.
Thank you, George Sadowski, again. For the record, I am not Cheryl Langdonor. Right. I've also had experience of going through the NomCom three times and been interviewed and the like. And I must say, I think it's axiomatic in what you're saying that if you get somebody to do recruiting, you get somebody good to do recruiting. But I want to give you my first and second experience with the recruiting firm. I was asked a series of about 50 questions in an hour, and they were motherhood questions. I knew exactly what the right answer they were looking for. And I attempted to confuse the process once or twice simply for fun and gave them answers that made them startle, and we talked about those answers a little bit. But, that wasn't worth very much. In fact, it may have even been worse than not doing it at all. So I think to the extent that you have external people, you better make sure that they know about ICANN much better than the candidates, and they're answering they're having a relevant conversation. Thank you.
We agree with you. We noticed that. And this year's NomCom, I know this is not just about us, but this year's NomCom has changed the firm and is putting into place certain procedures where we will ensure that that sort of thing is done more by the deep dive teams as well.
Let me follow up on that, because I know the firm, and I was also the chair of the search committee for the CEO twice in the 8 years, and I worked with that firm, and there was an absolutely superb guy I worked with. He made the difference. The person who interviewed me for my board application was from the same firm. Firms don't matter. People do.
Absolutely right, and that's what we've done. We've actually technically two separate firms, but they have different offices and stuff. And the person we're trying to get, and we'll see what happens this year, this is not confidential, and we've communicated that to the board and the BGC and the staff, is can we get that exact same person to do our evaluations and help us with that as well? We're still waiting to hear back on that, though, George. Thanks.
Do we have anyone else in the queue? Go ahead.
Well, this is Damon Ashcraft for the record. I just want to thank the review team for all the hard work and for the analysis group, too. It's been a real pleasure, and thank you very much.
Gentlemen, Cheryl, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you guys as well, and thank you for taking the time, George. You definitely served on NomCom, because I was waiting in line for coffee, and your wife was behind me, and I said I was on NomCom, and she said, I know exactly everything about that, because George served for 3 years. So you certainly did some hard work there, and we really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Indeed you were, Jose. Indeed you were. I'm relieved to know that your wife doesn't know everything about NomCom, George. There were some confidentiality issues there. I was going to have a chat with you later, just to say. Now, look, let's perhaps give it back to the analysis group to see if there's anything they want to summate here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think we have much to say other than it's been a real pleasure working with the current NomCom, talking to everyone in the community. It's great to get all of your feedback. We'll definitely take it into account in terms of what gets published pretty soon.
You've had thanks from the current NomCom because they're funded to be here, but I'm sure, Tom, you'd like to say something on behalf of the great unwashed masses that have been meeting regularly with you and do not have any support to be here.
But, yeah, we've enjoyed it as well. It's been great working with you guys. And I think we can wordsmith some of these recommendations. The whole idea of leadership training, I think, is a great idea that we should flesh out to so that's understood better. But overall, I think these are some great recommendations. And I look forward to continuing this. So thank you.
And with that, is there anything MSSI wanted to say as we finish up? No. Nope. Nobody's desperate to say something. Angie is. Go ahead. Go, Bill.
This is Angie Graves. I don't know how desperate I am, but certainly one of the factors of the success of a review is participation, and I think we've had a lot of very good participation from the review working party and interaction with the independent examiner, and that adds to the value of the outcome, which is what everybody wants. So thanks to everybody.
And with that, I think we can stop the recording, give a little bit of time back to everybody's lives, and as a veteran, I suspect I will describe myself as, of a number of review processes, I want to say what a pleasure it has been on the record to have worked with you all. You've been very approachable, very iterative, very interactive, and so far I'm pleased to see what's coming out. I look forward to getting the final, however. Tom, any final? All done. Thank you, one and all. Thank you, staff. Great. Bye for now.